I agree. Turned to the sports
page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. The kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
It's time for another edition of the sports page. I'm John Bauer. Fred Friedman's with us. I was just watching him. He had his index finger and his thumb over his nose with his head tilted down. Kyle Erickson looked like he cut his hair and maybe lost a little bit of his power. And Heidi Holton is just looking as lovely as ever. But I want to start this conversation off with Kyle Erickson, because every night I send out a mass Isaac Asimov. And we know that Kyle is brilliant. Actually, almost made a Jeopardy. Kyle, how did you do last night? You didn't respond.
Oh, my, John, I fell asleep earlier than usual last night, and I didn't do the quiz.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now I'm embarrassed. I should have been on top of that.
I sent it at 7 o'clock, for crying out loud. You're going to bed pretty early.
Well, I didn't fall in bed at like Matlock time, but it wasn't too long after that.
Golden Girls time. I didn't do well on that quiz, but this week.
It was
week,
a hard maybe one.
Fred, I think it might be fun to get Fred on that mass email.
Fred, you want to be in on that?
Absolutely.
You'll get everyone right, though. But that's okay. That's okay. So, speaking of get things right, I want to throw a couple of numbers at you right now. What are these numbers? 263, 205, 167, 167, and 079.
Twins batting averages in the 079 is Miguel Sano, last in baseball in a batting average, second to last in slugging percentage, paying him $11 million. And they couldn't afford to pay Rosario $8, by the way.
Kyle, you usually have great rebuttals to this. What are you thinking about Sano? Because we see this every year.
I'm trying to find silver linings or reason for hope. So there's a couple things. One is that the Sabermetrics folks have determined that Miguel Sano gets pitches outside the strike zone called strikes on him at the highest rate in Major League Baseball. Part of it could be just because he's a huge guy and strike zone looks huge. But when you have a guy who struggles to make contact and he's getting pitches outside the zone called strikes, that messes with his head and it's going to make him chase more. And the second part is that he is traditionally a slow starter, but the sample size is big enough now that it's hard to be optimistic about giving him too much more rope. The problem is that he's off to such a bad start that I don't know that he would have a ton of value in a trade. And you hate to see a guy with 80 power just cut him loose. You know, the last thing they want is to have another David Ortiz scenario. Not that I think.
But we've been saying that for 5 years, and David Ortiz, I think we had for about 2 years before we let him go. I mean, this is a good sample size, don't you think, Fred?
It's an absolute great sample size. He's just not a ball player. He strikes out too much. He doesn't drive in runs with people on base. He doesn't get ready for the season. You know, I wasn't too worried when spring training when they weren't hitting at all. But they're not hitting, and that's a lot more than Sano. That's Kepler. Right. That's Polanco. Plus, I feel I was scammed by the organization that says, we got all these rookies that are ready, Kirilloff and Rooker and all these dudes that are ready to hit. And almost none of them are hitting. It's really disappointing. I didn't see this coming. They are 1-16 with men in scoring position. 1-16.
Yeah, and they don't seem to score or hit after the fourth inning. I mean, they don't hit.
That's a real good point. And their catchers aren't hitting. I mean, you know, Cruz, Arise, and and you know, are about to, and Buxton are the only ones hitting. Buxton's again has he didn't play yesterday either game.
Boy,
he's a brittle dude. I'm really worried.
I wonder what Cal Ripken thinks when he hears about, like, you know, the coach very concerned about just a little tingling in Byron Buxton's foot, and we just want to make sure he is 100%. Well, 100% Buxton is a little bit better than Sano. And I don't know. It's pretty frustrating. They are just not doing anything right now. And I know it's early. Let's not get excited. But why doesn't a coach, like, unless he has it in his contract, why don't they send Sano down to the minors?
Good question.
Can they?
I don't know.
Is there?
I don't know if he has any options left or not. I know they shuttled him up. You only get so many years where you can send a player to the minors or not. And after they're out of options, then the player has to agree to it. Otherwise, you've got to work out a deal to trade him or cut him loose. And I don't know off the top of my head if Sano has any left or not. But it's easy to pile on him because he's the biggest culprit. But you know, Max Kepler's hitting like 203 and can hardly make contact.
Polanco 167.
Polanco.
So why is this, guys? This is a team that owns the major league record for home runs. Why is it last year they didn't hit? This year they didn't hit? I don't want to hear that pitchers got them figured out. Pitchers got everybody figured out and hitters adjust.
Yep.
What is going on? And I'm telling you. I'm telling you, Kyle, every day they don't hit just encourages rumors of why they hit 2 years ago. And you know exactly what I'm saying.
There's, you know, people spreading rumors of PED use. But to my mind, the more obvious and probably more correct guess would be the big change that happened after 2019 is the Twins did not retain the services of James Rowson, who was their hitting coach.
I like that.
Who had done a wonderful job helping hitters adjust their approaches, including Miguel Sano. And if you all remember back in 2019, Sano and others were hitting the ball to right center. The right-handed hitters were hitting the ball up the middle and to right center a lot more. And now they've gone very pull-happy. Garver, Sano, Kepler, and a pull-happy hitter, unless you have amazing plate coverage like a Miguel Cabrera in his prime, is a really easy hitter to handle. And, you know, so now Rowson is down with the Marlins, and he's considered a manager candidate in waiting, and good for him. Happy to see him advance his career path. But, you know, he left, and the Twins hitting tailed off, and correlation does not imply causation, but, boy, one wonders.
So, I like that argument. I'll also say this to the sabermetric folks, and I at least I understand these numbers, okay, unlike most people my age. Launch angle means nothing if you're swinging and missing.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is the truth.
So let me ask you a question. If a baseball player gets hurt in a motorcycle accident or he gets hurt playing lacrosse, off season, it's in his contract that he's okay. What happens to a team that signs a superstar shortstop who refuses to take the vaccine and is now out for 10 days? Does he get paid?
He does get paid, and they ought to put into contract that you have to take the vaccination. This is called the Lomberg Clause because after the 1967 season, Jim Lomberg went skiing in Sun Valley, Idaho after winning the American League Cy Young, and it was pretty much the end of his career. So there's all kinds of activities they can't do, like motorcycles, like skiing, et cetera, et cetera. And they need to put in the contract, my opinion, you got to take the shot. And here's why. You are messing with the health of your teammates and your teammates' family. He is not a teammate. John, I know you well enough and enough years. If you were coaching right now, the ICC women's basketball team, they would all be having their shots, and you would, because you're not a teammate.
Yeah.
You're not a teammate if you don't do it.
That's the first thing I thought of, selfish, when I heard that. You know, I know there's going to be people out there going to say, oh, no, they don't have to do it. Well, this is a little different story, and I don't, you know, It really shook Kyle. What do you think about it?
Well, the big difference for me is that if a guy rides a dirt bike or goes downhill skiing, he's only putting himself at risk.
Yeah.
Refusing to take
good point.
Health precautions like this, like Fred said, he's putting potentially a lot of other people at risk. And the Twins have done their contact tracing, and they feel like Andrelton Simmons hasn't potentially exposed anybody else. So hopefully that's the case. But, you know, this is serious stuff. And hopefully other players take notice. I know there are others who have decided not to take the vaccine. And, you know, here's hoping that good sense prevails.
It's just another.
I'll put it this way. Would any of you permit you or your loved ones to sit next to Andrelton Simmons on a cross-country airplane ride?
Yeah.
I would not. Would you?
No. No, absolutely not.
I
want to go into one really serious topic before we get to trivia. First of all, this is not serious, but A-Rod is Alex Rodriguez is going to be co-owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves. I don't even know what that means. Like our all-star guard, never even heard of him. I love that. But let's talk about this Deshaun Watson thing because it's everywhere. It's with Getz. It's with everybody. You know, Deshaun Watson's a quarterback for, who is he, Texas?
Houston.
Texans, yep. Houston. And he's been accused by one woman of assault, you know, sexual assault. And then there's two. And then there's nine. And then there's 14. And now there's 22. Fred, being an attorney, I don't even know how to ask this question, but is he just definitely guilty when not just one, but 22 people? Not to belittle just one, but it's going everywhere. They deny it. These are all fabrications. What is this?
Yeah, well, legally, he's certainly not guilty. Legally, he's presumed innocent, entitled to due process, and he has not been charged. That's really important to say. He has not been charged yet. In the court of public opinion and public relations, yeah, he is guilty. Unless you're the former president, then everything bounces off you, right? So, but I'm saying that it just hurts PR, and I assume they'll get rid of him. And, you know, the NFL has a policy where they'll look into it, and if they'll make a decision that he violated various rules and clauses in the contract, they can let him go. But it's very difficult to recover. I won't hesitate to tell you, I've represented plenty of people that were guilty and plenty of people that were not. And you do not recover. You just hope that folks get it right. The question for the media is, how much attention do you cover? How much do you cover and things turn out to be false? And I'll give you Exhibit A, y'all. A New Jersey highway patrolman charged Bruce Springsteen with DWI, it made the papers across the world, and he was absolutely innocent. Passed the test, wasn't even close to failing. But that didn't keep media from picking up the story.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you're guilty once you do something like that. I totally understand that. Heidi, I just wanted to say Mr. Richard Pitino has lost everybody, or they've all abandoned except for maybe one or two players, as he has left his job. But I see that the Gophers have retained some of their key stars, which is really, really exciting. And they're getting some new recruits. So I think that just depicts the type of coaching, you know. You got a local girl. Now the Gophers got a nice young man who's been around forever. And he hired some amazing coaches who are amazing recruiters. So we'll see what happens with the Gophers. I'm sure it's going to be a rough year, but maybe time will tell. Let's go.
All right, we're ready for trivia?
I think so. Kyle looks like he's ready.
So, John, kind of interesting because John started this sports page with numbers, and that's our theme for this week, numbers. For example, between 1991 and 1997, the Minnesota Timberwolves lost 26 straight games to the Seattle Supersonics. So, here's our first question. In 1988, what major league team started their season with 21 straight losses?
The Orioles or the Tigers?
One or the two.
Orioles.
Phillies 23-game losing streak in 1961 is the most by any major league team since 1900.
Yikes.
What two future Hall of Famers were on that Oriole team? Baltimore Orioles. What was
Eddie Murray for sure?
And Cal Ripken.
There you go. What are the four NFL teams with five or more Super Bowl wins?
Pittsburgh.
Yep.
New England.
Yep.
Is it Dallas?
Dallas. Yep. We got one more.
One more.
San Francisco.
Yes. There we go.
Nice
five
job.
Super Bowl
nice.
Wins. Next question. What are the numbers of the pins in the most difficult split in bowling?
7-10.
And it was just done on TV the other day.
Wow.
And it has not been done on TV since 1994.
Oh, wow.
And guys realize John's admitting he's watching bowling on
TV. No. I was watching ESPN.
Quarantine has been tough.
No kidding. Lay off. That's almost bullying, Heidi, for crying out loud. But usually a 7-10 split is done by just cutting the edge like a hair and sending it across. This guy threw it with so much velocity that the right pin bounced back and forth, came flying out, and knocked it over. But
John, think of what you said. That was pretty funny. What? Bullying about bowling.
Yeah. What is this world coming to?
That was good.
All right. Here we go. Next question. In addition to being members of their respective sports Hall of Fames, what do Ernie Banks, Bob Cousy, and Y.A. Tittle have in common?
Oh, my God. They must have went to the same school or something.
No, they didn't do that.
Remember what our theme is?
Numbers. Oh, 14. 14. Yeah. Number 14.
There we go.
Oh.
And I just got a text from an anonymous fellow staff member saying that was a sick burn on John Bauer. In 2015, what NBA player set the record for most points in one quarter with 37?
Oh. What year, please?
2015.
It was
Clay Thompson.
Yes, there we go. Oh, you didn't Thompson. Even need the hint, which was his dad played for the Gophers.
Sure did.
If I remember right, he was 13 for 13 or 14 for 14 shooting. I was watching that game. It was amazing.
It reminded me, what I was thinking of is the player, I can't think of his name right now, but scored like 13 points in like 48 seconds or something. Who was that? You remember that?
In high school?
In pro.
I was thinking of Gerald Kingbird from Red Lake in the state tournament and his flurry to close the game against Wabasso.
Do you guys remember the cool name of Michael Thompson's high school and college roommate and closest friend, teammate?
No.
Osborne Lockhart.
Oh, Osborne Lockhart.
And Heidi, do you remember why Michael Thompson did not need a scholarship to attend the University of Minnesota? Do you happen to know that?
I don't know that.
His dad owned all the banks in the Bahamas.
Do you know how Kelvin Murphy got a scholarship?
Like twirling your baton.
Baton twirling. Yep.
All right. We got a few more here. In addition to being members of the Baseball Hall of Fame, what do Rod Carew, Stan Musial, and Rogers Hornsby have in common?
Well, it can't be. It's not their jerseys.
Number of batting titles? No.
Yes. How many?
Oh, boy. Seven, eight?
Yes, seven. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. Tiger outfielder Akil Baddow became the latest player to hit a home run on the first pitch of his first major league at-bat. It happened 30 times before that, including Twins outfielder Eddie Rosario in 2015. What is unexpected about 8 of the 31 players to homer on the first pitch of their first at-bat?
What is unexpected?
About the 8 of the 31 players who've gotten a home run on their first pitch.
Now, this is humor, Heidi. Twins cut them.
They were pitchers?
They were pitchers, yeah.
Oh.
What?
And you know, Rosario's on that list, and Akil Baddow is on the list. And, of course, per Fred's comment there, the Twins let them both go.
So he's kind of right.
Didn't the Rat hit a home run in his first at-bat?
First at-bat, but not first pitch, yeah.
Okay.
An NBA game is 48 minutes long. What player has the record for averaging 48 and a half minutes a game for an entire season?
John Havlicek?
Nope.
Oh, that's hard. Initials, please.
Well, here's the hint from Scott. He did it with the Philadelphia Warriors in the 61-62 season.
Wilt?
Wilt?
Yep. Yep. There we go. Wilt played in almost every minute of every game that year, including overtimes. He missed 8 minutes during one game after being ejected. Wilt also has the record for most 50-point games, 118. Michael Jordan has the second most 50-point games, 31.
Fred, you got to think that Oscar Robertson was pretty close to that class, too, at some point.
Yeah. Heidi, have you ever heard of Oscar Robertson?
Nope.
You know what triple-double means in basketball?
Yes.
You know, rebounds, points, assists?
Yeah.
Oscar averaged that for his career, and they make a big deal if somebody gets it for two games. Greatest player and the non-center player in the game before Jordan.
Well, that's it for our trivia today.
Wow, that was good. Let's go, Twins. Let's start getting those averages up around 198, and things will start happening. And the ER to 198.
Ooh. And let's get another bowling update next week, John. Yep. I love it.
Well, I've been a staunch follower of Bob Strampy. He was a legendary bowler. Check it out.
John, you're getting bullied about bowling.
I don't like it.
You don't think
this isn't going in her personnel file.
You need an employee interaction here.
I need an attorney.
And a therapist.
So John, were you pretty broken up when Pete Weber announced his retirement?
Oh, crushed. Crushed.
That had to be tough for you.
I've been trying to purchase one of his silk shirts online in an auction, but it's gone up too much.
Is there a KAXE bowling team?
No.
I know there's it used to be a KAXE roller derby team.
And softball team, I think, way back.
Yeah,
then.
Way back. We played for the Can of Corn trophy.
There you go.
Wow.
Thanks, you guys.
Degenerated.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah. See you, folks.
Fred, I'll be calling you for some legal help.
I'm in.
All right.
Brad, it's all free.